Welcome to part two of our conversation with Russ Bevan. When you go into an investigation like that and there's something that, you know, clearly not necessarily welcoming, to put it lightly, what kind of dangers, you know, do you face when looking at something like that?
Well, yeah, apart from the, if there is a case of a physical, you know, obviously, as you probably know, scratches, etc., are quite regular, you know, quite a occurrence, but you need to be protected yourself. You need to be grounded. You need to keep your aura closed. There's lots of things you need to protect yourself. So they can't get into your energy field. If they get into your energy field, there could be hell to pay if you're not ready, especially mentally. Negative energies like to interfere with your mental weakness. And, you know, I'm not controversial here, but I do think if you do, I do believe a lot of ghost hunters, paranormal investigators, etc., do what we do. A lot of them do suffer with mental illness. Uh-huh. A lot. Now, I'm not saying it's a big percentage, but I do think it doesn't help, because the subject matter, the negative energies that you do encounter, and if you are weak and you're not prepared mentally, negative energy feeds on that fear, that lowness. You know, it's like if you're dealing with good spirits and light spirits, you know, and you're feeling that way, you'll attract it. If you're in a good mood, your aura's bright, you will attract the good spirits when you're on location. But also, unfortunately, the opposite does occur. If you're an investigation, you're going through hell, so you will attract it. It's weird how it works like that. But yes, answer your question. Yeah, they can cause you damage if you're not prepared for it.
We always hear about attachments and things following people home and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. How common is that, and have you ever experienced anything like that?
I have experienced it, and I was caught totally unawares. And I will admit, yeah, there is such thing as a walk-in. You're not going to get to the level of demonic possession unless you are, as I mentioned, you match the criteria in relation to mental mm-hmm. issues and perhaps a lot of history in relation to practices. Yeah. Certain practices can cause it. You have to invite it in, and then you have to be in a mental position for that to take over. You know, I'm not saying it's not true, but it does occur, and obviously there's a lot of documented cases which we won't go into. But yeah, how can I put it? It's something you've always got to be totally be aware of and be it yourself. So, sorry, Tony, I've just got off subject there. What was the question again? Sorry to be a pain.
Sure. No, it's fine. How common is it for something to follow someone home? I mean, is this something that is, you know, frequent, that we always need to be guarding of, or is that is it blown out of proportion, if you will, the same way we hear, you know, demonic being blown out of proportion in many cases?
No, it's very, very, well, in my 30 years, it's very rare. When I've been on events, you get the, can I say the word Karens? I don't know if you know what the term of Karen is over there.
No.
Where you get the ones that suddenly get a walk in and they're rolling all over the floor saying he's attacking me, blah, 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 where uh-huh. you just know it's like a stage act to get some attention.
Sure.
But then there's the ones where they're on site and that are working with us, and then you can, well, we had one recently at the swimming baths that we do, and this guy, just total lovely guy, nothing at all, you know, not to, you're just there to experience something, suddenly started getting hot, and I said, oh, okay, the heating's not on. It was an ambient, I think it was about 16, 17 degrees, so it wasn't too hot. Mm-hmm. So he took his coat off. The sweat began to pour more, but while he was getting hotter, we was getting colder in the circle, and the equipment, the REM pod, the various EMF meters we've got, and the sensors, the PIR light sensors we've got, you know, just basic equipment, trifold meter as well, that was all going off. So there was some kind of energy in there, and it was picking up on him. And basically after this sensation of heat, and he started getting losing, not consciousness, where he started losing his visual. He said it was getting blurry. So we ended the circle. We took him out the room. We took him to the toilet block at the end of the corridor. And unfortunately, this guy passed out and banged his head on the toilet area. We had to drag him. He was slightly concussed. We had to drag him into the base room area. And he wasn't making sense for 2 or 3 minutes. It was as if he was on a different plane. He never actually told us what he was seeing and sensing, but he was totally somewhere different. So we got the spiritualist down, and we calmed him. We all said prayers around him and done a little ceremony around him, and he was okay again after 5 minutes. But we don't joke about it, but that turned him to a full believer after that. He said he definitely experienced something. Not sure why the spirit picked on him, but it was a kind of a mini walking. But yeah, it does happen, but it's not very, very common, mm-hmm. Not at all. And well, not that I know anyway. Somebody else might say it is common, but I've not, in 30 years, I've not witnessed anything. I think energy-wise, taking it home, I've known a few cases where they've taken it home, or have they actually taken a spirit home, or is it there? Psychosis, is it their mental state taking the energy home? And it, because energy can manifest itself, if you, as I said, you know, the manifestation of a negative energy, it can affect you days after. And I believe you can manifest your own traits, your own issues, mm-hmm. for sure. If you're not in the right mental mindset, you know, you can manifest bad things, you can manifest good things, because we are one consciousness, one universe. But that's another subject in its entirety. But if you think you're taking a spirit home and you're thinking, oh, that's the spirit, that's the ghost, blah, 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 you know, you're going to convince yourself that you've took it home, aren't you? You know,
sure.
So now, why would you want to go to somebody's house anyway when you're stuck in a gothic mansion with multiple rooms and this splendor around you? Why would you want to go to somebody's 2-up, 2-down house in Birmingham?
sure.
So, yeah.
Let me ask you, this is kind of on the same note, and this is just your opinion. What makes something evil? You know, and does it have to be, you know, of another place or something that never walked this world to be an evil or demonic haunting? Can something like that be, you know, essentially a human being who was an asshole in life? You know,
that is totally my answer to that. There's good and bad in life. There's going to be good and bad in spirit. Mm-hmm. There are recorded, well, a lot of people I deal with do deal with other realms. You know, I do know a lot of occultists that believe in the demonic realm, the Lesser Key of Solomon, you know, Aleister Crowley territory.
Yeah.
In relation to giving brand names and names to certain bad entities. You know, you all heard of Zozo, the demon of the Ouija board, and Baal, and etc. But I believe that was, you know, why brand and give a name to a bad energy? As I say, good and bad energy in life, good and bad energy in the other realm.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna have arseholes on the other side as well.
Sure. When you were telling me earlier, one of the things that you like to do and help people on the mental side of spiritual activity, and there's obviously mental illness runs wild, you know, with, I think all of us to some extent we all have something, you know, that we're dealing with. How much does that play a part? I'm thinking more so how do you, when you're investigating, kind of weed that down? Because it can certainly present itself as something paranormal if you're just hearing someone's accounts, as being something paranormal. But if you dig deeper, it can also present itself in the same way as being a mental illness. How do you know when it is one or the other?
Yeah, good question. So you obviously I can't talk for anybody who comes on an investigation with me. I don't know what their history is in relation to mental illness or perhaps mental illness to suffer with, because obviously schizophrenia will is one of the recorded symptoms of schizophrenia is hearing voices, isn't it? So
yeah,
you know, but in relation to what we're hearing, what we're dealing with, and protecting the people around me, we pull the plug. If we can see somebody's getting affected, you know, we was doing an experiment the weekend, and it was a lot to do with white noise and plugging white noise into people's ears and sensory depriving their eyesight and willing spirit to use this method to communicate with them. And some of them, you could tell they was uncomfortable. There was twitching. The hands were twitching. There was pulling their hair. There was sticking the nails into the knees. Now, we had 20 people volunteer for these experiments that we'd done the weekend. And I would say 50% of them didn't last 2-3 minutes because the mental side was too much. This white noise, this constant beat, this frequency, this binaural beat in their ears was too much, and it was bringing this mental state to play. So it was increasing anxiety, claustrophobia of not having your eye, you know, your eyesight, this closeness of this noise, and it was bringing up their mental issues to the hilt. As I said, they was pulling at their own hair. They was trying to ride it out, but it was getting worse and worse. So we pulled a good 10 people from this experiment. Mm-hmm. And that is because that they wasn't mentally prepared for what was going to happen. So, but safety is paramount for sure, because as you know, a little trigger can bring on anxiety, any trigger at all. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what their triggers are.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, what's your opinion on the idea that we as people can essentially haunt ourselves with our own energy, create essentially something that we, you know, experience, and not an illusion or anything like that, but physically see or physically affecting the atmosphere or things around us, with our own anxieties, with our own stresses and things like that, and that appear to be another entity or something, of another nature.
I totally agree with that point. Very, very strongly agree with that point. As I talked about our spirit rescue cases that we go on to help families, I would say a good 90% of that is to do with a self-haunting, if you like to say. It's manifestation of their own thoughts. If you put some energy into anything over and over and over and over and over, one, you begin to believe what you've put out there. And two, you know, I've seen it happen. You know, you can haunt yourself. You can create your own haunting, your own spirit for sure. There's a famous experiment called the Philip experiment. I believe it was in the 60s. And I think there's a film about it as well. I forgot the name of the film. But the Philip experiment was where they, spiritualists, sat together, created a character from the past, Philip, his name was. They gave him a job. They gave him how he died. They gave him an age. They gave him a family. And they created this persona, this character. Mm-hmm. And these spiritual mediums then began to put the intent out there. There is an actual soul they could communicate with. And they would repeat this process of meeting upon meeting, until they got to a level where they, in their clairsentience, clairaudience, they actually was a fab part of that particular building, the meeting room. So then they began to call out to him, ask to communicate to him, can you affect the equipment? Can you speak to us on the EVP, on the voice recorder, etc.? And believe it, he communicated. Now, I'm not sure if it was Philip or if it was another, but they made out it was Philip, and this was all a manifestation of their combined combined thought process and combined energy, they created this spirit, alleged spirit, to communicate with. So if you're at home and you're, you know, environmentals in your house, if you're hearing taps, your taps and bangs, and instead of just thinking, oh, it's just the environmental, your building is expanding and compressing based on the cold air and the what season it is. But if you interpret everything as being paranormal, and then you suddenly decide, oh, right, okay, I must be being haunted by my grandparents, blah, 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 and keep putting that intent out there. Yeah, I'm positive that you can create your own haunting, and it can affect you as well. You can become obsessed. We was on a case where this lady and her young child were being visited, and not necessarily a dark energy, but it was they said it was a former resident. So before every case, we interview them and ask them, are they on medication? Have you had any other experiences in other properties? Just them trigger questions, really, and just to put a base test out there to see what we're dealing with. But this one, to cut a long story short, this one girl was obsessed with her CCTV camera. She had it in every single room in the house. And every time there was a disturbance, it would trigger the app on her phone. So she was spending nigh on 8 hours a day with this app, just watching the dust, the moisture, the fabric of her bedroom and cotton flying around on these infrared cameras that obviously were expanding with infrared light to, you know, light anomaly, orb sizes. She was watching it 8 hours a day, Tony. Mm-hmm. She was obsessed that it was spirit. And look how many spirits are here, Russ. I'm being haunted by a dozen spirits a night, and I'm there going, you're not. Please stop it. This is, I had to prove it to her on my infrared camera and my own cameras. Look what you're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. You know, the vape smoke on infrared. Please stop it. You're obsessing yourself. You're manifesting and creating your own problems, and you're affecting your child, because your child will not go to sleep in that bedroom now. Mm-hmm. And these are the things we face. And yes, definitely you can create your own issues, for sure.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Russ. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his experiences on the show. And thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We could not exist without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for the support.